Welcome to a special live NFL draft episode of Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Palillo. As always, next to him on screen is Sports Talk 790's Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Palillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. We said this draft is going to be unpredictable. There were projections of maybe Houston moving down. We heard rumblings in the middle of the week that perhaps Nick Caserio is poking around, looking to move up possibly. He does indeed move up just a little bit. They trade with the Bills, acquiring the 26th and 91st picks in exchange for 28, 69, and 167. They snag at 26, two-time first-team All-ACC guard Keelan Rulledge of Georgia Tech, and just do even more to bolster that retooled O-line for Houston. Lance Zierlein called him the biggest bully on the block. What's your reaction to this trade and pick?
Good job, Nick Caserio. Trading out of the first round would have been a buzzkill. Tactically, might have made wonderful sense, but what's the fun of sitting around 3 hours waiting for a pick and then it doesn't come the first night of the draft? There's no reason other than inherent skepticism. There's nothing wrong with that. For anyone to be saying, oh, come on, what are they doing? Right? The offensive line has been a quarter century area of need for this franchise. And so while they added veterans in free agency, in Wyatt Teller, most notably here is an interior guy, but you can throw Braden Smith in there as well. Older guys on the decline to at least some extent, injury histories in their recent past. So to add younger blood as well, a smart play. As to the specific pick of Rutledge, you know, depending on which guru you want to go with, maybe a slight reach that there are a couple of guards who could have been taken ahead of him. I guess around here, most notably Chase Besantis out of Texas A&M. Well, we'll see how it plays. That skepticism thing with Nick Caserio drafting an offensive lineman, certainly warranted. Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, Blake Fisher, but another day, another dawn. So we'll see how it works. A couple of things in the quick brush up on Keelan Rutledge. He has the nastiness gene. And when you think offensive linemen, especially in the interior, you want guys who chew glass just for fun, right? Who like to roughhouse and have the wherewithal to do it. I wonder if ultimately the Texans drafted their next starting center. I mean, Jake Andrews just isn't all that. If Teller and the re-signed Ed Ingram, who was the right guard primarily, hold up and play well, and you want to get your five best offensive linemen on the field, and Rutledge is one of them, moving inside. Now, he played almost exclusively at right guard at Georgia Tech, but apparently in the run-up to the draft, senior ball, hey, kid, snap the ball, see how that works. So the idea that he could be the Texans' center maybe sooner than he's a starting guard, I don't rule that out at all.
I like the player, Greg Cosell from NFL Films, one of the biggest film gurus, loves him. But I think they way overpay. I hate the pick. I think you might have been able to sit there and just select him in the second round. Trading up and giving up 69 to fall back to 91, I just don't like the move whatsoever. I mean, we talk about, you know, I just heard Lance Zierlein being mentioned there. Well, he also said he has the toughness to earn a role as a good backup with starting potential. You traded up in the first round for that guy. And for me personally, Caleb Lomu was there, a tackle. You could have just sat there and taken him, but you didn't. And I haven't seen any other guards go off the board. So hate to be the party pooper. I like the player. I just don't like what they did in trading up to select him there. I think there were better options if they just stuck where they were and picked with Lomu. So, I don't like the move at all. I hate losing all that ground with that Bills trade going from 69 to 91 because we've all been told this draft, it's not very deep. So that could be a big difference in who's available when you drop back 20 picks there.
Separate components, right? The player who better work out versus the transaction cost. They go from early third round with their pick to late third round, going, 22 spots, as you said, Josh, 69 to 91. And since they only moved up two, I mean, they really better be right on Rutledge because the math is simple. If they'd sat there at 28, they would have been guaranteed to have Lomu, Besantis, or Rutledge, right? One of those three guys would have been available. They could all three have gone in picks 26 and 27. So they locked and loaded, evidently, on Rutledge as their guy. Time will prove out whether it was right or it goes down as another debit column entry where Nick Caserio and offensive linemen are concerned.
The Cowboys gave up way less to trade up in the top 10. I hate the value. I don't like it from Caserio.
Well, my favorite quote on it, Dane Brugler, who's the guy for The Athletic who does that The Beast thing, deep dives on like 9,000 players in a draft that has not even 300 players picked. And an ACC coach quoted, or well, I'll paraphrase, saying that if the ACC had a Royal Rumble, his bet would have been on Rutledge to be the last guy walking out of the ring. So the Texans, it's not that they've been a finessey offensive line. It's just that they've been a generally weak offensive line. They never knock people off the ball in the running game. Obviously, the pass protection issues year after year after year after year. But if they want more smack in the run game, Rutledge is supposed to be a guy to upgrade. But, I mean, let's be real that he's not super athletic and he has some flaws in his game for those who really, you know, magnifying glass the offensive lineman. It's not like, hey, the upside here is Larry Allen or Randall McDaniel or someone like that. But if it's to upgrade the Texans, and clearly they emphasize guard because there's no way Rutledge factors as a tackle going forward, guard or center on the interior.
And I'm looking in the comments. That's fine, guys. If you think San Francisco wanted him, that's why they did what they did. But you didn't have to take a guard. And Besantis was still an option too. So just saying, like, they must really, really like this player because they overpaid.
Yeah, Charlie, you argued that the pick and the compensation aren't the same, but I mean, you could argue those things are intertwined considering the fact that they move up just two picks, but as Josh said, move way down in the third and lose that fifth round. Not that the fifth round matters all that much, but you are missing out on potentially a quality pick in the third to go way down at 91. So who knows what that could have turned into. Do you think Nick Caserio got deked a little bit? I mean, you know, obviously there's the rumor about San Francisco, but like, do you think he just got antsy because they had this guy outlined because perhaps the versatility of maybe moving him to center, or do you think this was just the thing that they just wanted to go get their guy?
They're certainly going to claim the latter. And I'll accept it. And the verdict on this will be what kind of player does Rutledge become to validate swapping down 20 plus picks in the third round. But as I said, they better have, you know, it's we've talked before in run up to the draft that, you know, best player available. I doubt Rutledge was the highest graded player on their board overall at 26, but they weren't going to take a cornerback. Or a wide receiver. They still wanted offensive linemen. They need to be right on this player. His toughness role model, supposedly is Quinn Miners of the Denver Broncos. He's an all-pro guard, but it's one thing to look up to the right guy. It's another to be able to play like him.
Yeah, there was a better offensive lineman that you didn't have to trade up for in Caleb Lomu. You could have gotten a tackle there. I would have preferred a tackle. Tackles are way more valuable in the NFL than guards are. But if we want to look at the positive, he started 43 games in college. He is a little short at 6'3 and change. But I didn't see the point in giving up all that. That was a lot of draft capital. If you're going to give up that much, go up and get one of the more highly acclaimed tackles. Or you could have just stuck where you were and take a Lomu. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm a little disappointed.
Ultimately, what does Rutledge need to do to be able to validate Nick Caserio's pick for him? Does he need to be a dominant starting center or guard for them?
Dominant, no. A good, solid starter necessarily immediately. But look, to me, any player you draft in the first round better wind up a starter. And not just because you're garbage at a certain position, because you drafted a good player. Granted, it was late in the first round. The Texans, trivial, perhaps more than trivia, never picked at 28 before. They took DeAndre Hopkins years ago at 27 in the first round. So, hey, there are Pro Bowlers who will go way lower than the first round. There are guys who aren't drafted at all who wind up Pro Bowlers or All Pros or in some circumstances, even Hall of Famers. So I get it with Josh being upset at the certainly the initial overpay. Retroactively, will we look at it the same? Josh, for your blood pressure, I'm just really glad they didn't take Cade McDonald or Peter, what's-his-face from Clemson, one of the D linemen.
Right. You read my mind, Charlie. That's what I was about
Jones.
To say.
Peter and Jones.
At least they told me they are serious. Let's address the offense and especially the offensive line. That's what I wanted to see. So I'm fine with that. At least they didn't go grab an edge or something like that. But here's my problem. I think they could have taken one of those D tackles or one of the top edges and still got this guy or gotten Bisantis in the second round. I think they could have been more efficient. Obviously, we'll know in 3 years. We're just going off our instincts right now. But also, if you look at the way the Texans are set, unless he does play center, he's not expected to be a starter.
It feels like a very Nick Caserio move in a way of throwing cold water on excitement for draft night, either
bingo
drafting completely out of the first round or, in this case, a perceived overpay to move up just a couple of picks to get a guy who clearly they wanted to get. And obviously, we want it to work out the best for this team because, you know, it makes it more interesting to cover. So tell me what Rutledge looks like. I mean, obviously, they brought back Trent Brown, re-signed Ed Ingram, Braden Smith, Wyatt Teller brought in. So now Rutledge is added to the mix here. Tell me, like, what your confidence level is in the makeup of the O-line as it stands right now.
Well, if he's starting at guard, it means either Ed Ingram gets injured during training camp or preseason. Wyatt Teller, they bought at the wrong time, or he gets injured. Rutledge wouldn't be expected to supplant either of those guys going in. So that leaves Jake Andrews at center. Jared Patterson, I guess, is still loitering. Should certainly be able to move ahead of Patterson in a hurry. I mean, he's not in the tackle mix. So that you have Ursary on the left side, Smith and Brown kind of a job share on the right side, and Blake Fisher in case of emergency, I guess. So I do think center is the wild card, even though he has virtually no experience playing center.
That's the thing, right? Like, we're expected to move him, but he hasn't played there before. So I will say,
yeah, now make the line calls, help CJ Stroud out, and be effective playing center.
Sure. Look, I like I said, I'm glad they upgraded the offensive line. I mentioned earlier that he started 43 games in college, is a very experienced player. And Greg Cosell is one of those dudes that I listen to. He knows what he's looking at. But I'm looking at Daniel Jeremiah. I trust him pretty much more than anybody. He was the one that nailed the CJ Stroud and Will Anderson trade up a couple three years ago. He knows his stuff. He's got Rutledge at 47th on his big board. So I feel like they overpaid. He had Lomu ranked quite a bit higher. I'm trying to look right now. I'm scrolling so long looking for where Lomu is. Is we're talking him at 30. So he actually had him as a first round prospect, where he had Rutledge as clearly a second round. I don't dislike the player. I just feel like you could have got him or Bisantis without you having to give up as much. But I am glad that they're telling me they're serious, that the offense needs to improve. The defense is fine, and they can address that. But now they have one less quality pick to address the defense because they gave up a fair amount of draft capital.
And in case his family happens to be taking in Texans on Tap, Peter Woods, the Clemson D lineman, not Jones, yes, that I referred to earlier.
Indeed. On nights like this, we also like to kind of take inventory of what the division's doing during the draft, but not a lot of activity from the rest of the AFC South going on outside of the Titans, obviously grabbing receiver Carnell Tate at 4th overall.
You could argue that was a reach.
You definitely could. They're hoping that he pairs up with Cam Wardwell, and obviously they grab Kedrick Falk. Any thoughts on how this changes a division rival as bad as maybe we project them to be?
No, look, I mean, the Colts better have Sauce Gardner back and playing at a Pro Bowl level. That's where their first round pick this year and next went. Jacksonville, kind of its first round pick this year is Travis Hunter, who as a rookie after the Jags' big move to get him last year was injured. And there are questions about him. You know, you can be all world two-way player in college. NFL's a different beast. So there was nothing needle moving happening in the first round. And so as we look to Friday night, right, with the 10th pick in the second round, I'm going to guess the Texans do go defense there with an interior defensive lineman, or as we talked about, the possibility of a young, cheap help for 2026 and going forward at linebacker. And as a wild card, if they really love the player, can you ever have enough pure cover guys? You know, Lassiter misses a couple of games. Stingley misses a couple of games. The drop off from your top two. And then you look a couple of years from now, right? Stingley's a $30 million corner going forward. Are they going to be able to pay Lassiter when he's up in a couple of years? And Jalen Petrie, keep him as a $15 million nickel corner. So they'll have roster salary management decisions to make, as well as pure football personnel.
Yeah, my deal is just based off this draft. There's at most maybe 20 guys that would be a first-round pick in normal drafts in a typical year. So I would have liked to see them grab one of those players if they could. I thought Lomu could have been one of those guys. And then I thought you maybe could have got Rutledge after that. So that's where I'm disappointed. I would have liked to see them get a tackle and a guard. I want to see them really double down on the O-line. Don't get me wrong. I love Taylor. Teller. I love the other pick at Braden Smith. I love the offensive line moves, but they're two-year deals with guys in their 30s. You can't count on them being good to go. Jake Andrews is just a guy. I wanted to see them double down on the offensive line. Maybe they still will. We'll see. I just think that they could have done a little better there. As far as the division, Brian Thomas Jr. was being talked about as maybe dangled by the Jags to trade up into the first round. And obviously that didn't happen. You know, we were talking about they probably wouldn't trade in division, but Brian Thomas Jr. on the Texans, that could be pretty appealing there too, but obviously it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So as far as the division, not too much to note. Alec Pierce, though, him being listed as having that ankle surgery after they gave him all that money, I find that pretty interesting. So we'll see how it plays out. Like I said, I like the player. I just think they maybe could have gotten him and something else for the same price.
We've got some viewers displeased in the comments about our overall lack of overall excitement. And I don't know what to tell you. You know, not one of us saying that the Texans should not have drafted Rutledge. It's just the question of compensation. And that's just part of the formula when you're evaluating the draft live as it's happening. It's obviously not an indictment on the franchise, and we won't be able to litigate the value of Rutledge until we've actually seen him on the field. And I mean, we wish him the best, obviously, and we have to trust the process from Nick Caserio. But as Charlie has outlined, doesn't have a great track record of O-linemen, although Arcee looked good in year one. So hopefully that they have another piece to build on here. But I don't know what to tell you. This is Texans on Tap, not Kool-Aid on Tap. We're going to give you unfiltered opinions here. Let's wrap it up. Final thoughts before we're out the door on night one.
Look, guard is fundamentally unsexy as a draft pick. In terms of positional value, it's why guards hardly ever go in the top 10, right? An elite tackle always goes higher than an elite guard. You know, the guys who handle the ball and literally score the points, that's where there's the ooh and ah and all the highlights of fantastic catches and breakaway runs and so forth. But if by year two, Big Red, as he's nicknamed, isn't starting for the Texans and their offensive line, either the other pieces coalesced magnificently in 2026 and they all came back for 2027, or Caserio has another dubious high offensive line draft selection for his resume.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's fun to talk about now. We're not going to really know for like 3 years. That's just kind of how this works. Jadarian Price, somebody I was talking about earlier this week in the draft preview, he does end up going there the last pick of the first round. And I love David Montgomery. Don't get me wrong, but he's 29 years old. I don't want to see another season where you have Woody Marks as your main running back. And I would have been okay with him. I don't love him. He ran like a like a 1.6 on his 10-yard split, which is not great, but he did have a lot of production. So, but that concerns me a little. I wanted them to address the offensive line. So relax, everybody. Overall, I'm happy they addressed the offensive line. Tells me they're taking this seriously. They know they have a good defense. They got to protect CJ and up the middle. That's where he gets a lot of that pressure, right? And they did go out and get Braden Smith. They brought back Trent Brown. So right tackle should be okay. It's just, you know, where was Trent Brown in that Patriots game? Oh, yeah, right. After he was so great for a few weeks, he wasn't available. And Ariante Ursary, great player so far, but it's 1 year, guys. You know how that stuff, I know, great, but as far as rookies, Charlie, he really
promising.
He looks as one of the best tackles in that draft class. And he's not a guy that we were even talking about until they drafted him. He was outside of that bubble last year. So I'm going to give him credit for that pick. But like the proof's in the pudding, right? We'll see. But I felt like they could have gotten a little better value there. And I look at some of the stuff like the Chiefs did. I just, you know, I'm not a big Caserio truther. I'm just not.
Look, their offensive line as a unit ranked in the bottom five in the league in pass protection, in the bottom five in the league in run block, win rate, and all the advanced metrics. So, you know, it shouldn't take a masterstroke pick of an offensive lineman to at least incrementally improve the offensive line. But that's not what you want the bar to be, right? When you're hoping to vault into true championship contention. So, Josh, would you have taken Lomu or Price if you were at 28 and both were sitting there?
Lomu. Very quick, right there. I saw a lot of mocks where he went even higher than that. And you could have just sat there and taken him. You wouldn't have having to give up 69. And you get a tackle, which is more value than a guard. I feel like you could have gotten both. That's I'm greedy. Not like Dana Brown greedy about winning. Like greedy, I could actually draft these guys and have something really good happen. And Besantis was still probably going to be there when they pick, who's kind of on that same level. Greg Cosell loved him too. I will say this, the Texans do like to bring in guys on their visits at the very end and then not take any of those guys because they don't want to tip their hand on who they like. So that's what kind of happened here, I think. But look, if they got the pick right and they love the player and he turns out to be really good, then awesome. You know, giving up 69 is not the end of the world. But right now, I just feel like he might have been there. They could have just sat where they were and taken him.
It's not just about protecting CJ Stroud. It's also about taking away the excuses and the caveats in our evaluation of CJ Stroud, because this team desperately needs to understand what CJ Stroud is, who he is as a player. And you can't adequately grade that if the guy's running for his life. So I don't think any of us would disagree that the O-line projects to be better in 2026 than it was last season. And that's ultimately what the goal of the offseason should have been. And so they've done well. Nick Caserio has done well to bolster the O-line. And I think now we get to see what CJ Stroud is. We'll be back Friday night after the Texans make their pick at 91. So make sure you come back and join us. We appreciate everybody who's coming in and talking ball with us. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. And if you listen on podcasts, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying thanks for joining us. Go Texans.